Building a business may feel like a big jump, but OnDeck Small Business Loans can help keep you afloat. With lines of credit up to $100,000 and term loans up to $250,000, OnDeck lets you choose the loan that's right for your business. As a top-rated online small business lender, OnDeck's team of loan advisors can help you find the right business loan to fit your needs. Visit OnDeck.com for more information. Depending on certain loan attributes, your business loan may be issued by OnDeck or Celtic Bank. OnDeck does not lend in North Dakota. All loans and amounts subject to lender approval.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit HighFiveCasino.com. That's high, the number five, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Today is International Women's Day. Raise the question, what's the point? A person who's been looking into that is Dr. Lauren McCarthy, who's reader in Corporate Social Responsibility and director of Ethos, the Centre for Responsible Enterprise at Bayes Business School. Lauren, shorn of any suggestion of it being pejorative, literal question, what is the point?
What is the point? Well, it is a good question, because I think in recent years, it's become, well, International Women's Day has become a bit of a marketing gimmick rather than anything substantive. But the fact is that we still haven't really reached gender equality or gender equity. According to the World Economic Forum, it's going to take another 134 years for us to reach parity worldwide. But what we really need to do, in my opinion, is to kind of recapture the original radical roots of International Women's Day and get rid of all this frothy marketing stuff that we see nowadays.
Give us a sense of what those original radical roots were.
So with my colleague Laura Spence at King's College London, we've been looking into the history of International Women's Day. And it's been really inspiring. So it started in New York in 1910, and it's really connected to socialism and, ironically, criticizing capitalism. It's about, you know, securing better working conditions for working class women in factories. It was about getting out there on the streets and protesting. And then later on in 1975, the United Nations took it on and it became kind of a more annual global event like we know today. It's been connected with more recent events like the women's strike in Iceland. The most recent one was in 2014, and even the Icelandic Prime Minister took part in that. So it's not about celebrating individual success, which we often see now, but it's about how can we collectively make life better for women and all women, all kinds of women, not just, you know, the successful CEO or you know, these glossy images we see on Instagram.
So what then are the battlegrounds yet to be fought? Because usually when Women's Day is talked about, it is talked about in terms of glass ceiling. It's talked about in terms of gender pay gaps, those kind of things. Are they the issues now?
They continue to be the issues, yes. But I think particularly for those of us in Europe, we think, oh, you know, we do see women now leading business and we do see success stories. But I think we need to
precious
kind of
few still.
Yeah, precious few. But I think not only are we still not seeing enough of those stories, but we're seeing more of the mundane challenges to gender equality. So, for example, in the States, we're seeing a huge pushback against reproductive rights, safe access to abortion and so on. We're also seeing a pushback against diversity, inclusion and equity in the workplace, DEI. We've got companies saying we no longer want to do this and sadly kind of buoyed by a shift to the conservative right in the States and loads of other countries around the world.
And when we look at that, can I ask you on that, Lauren, that when it comes to the workplace stuff, much of the battle around DEI is around ostensible meritocracy versus gender or other equality targets. When you look at trying to shorten the 134 years to gender equality, does it necessitate targets and quotas?
Yes. The research shows that without having quotas and targets, we're just not going to get there. I mean, how many years have we been working on this already? And it's just not happening. So organizations do need to have targets at a minimum, and quotas can be helpful. That's what the research shows.
How do you square that? Because the argument that is getting used more and more now, particularly in America, thanks to the new administration and beyond, is the one that says, look, it should be a meritocracy. If you are skewing it towards one gender, if it's in a recruitment policy as case in point, you are intrinsically doing down a more meritorious candidate if it is not given just on the basis of merit. How do we square that circle, or can you?
Well, it's because meritocracy is a myth. You know, we never, ever just assess a candidate on their merit. It just doesn't exist. So if you are a group of white men and you're assessing a candidate, you're going to see and the other candidate is another white man, you're going to see some kind of connection. And often there's some unbiased privilege or connection going on. And so... I think having a DEI quota doesn't necessarily mean that you have to recruit the woman or the person of colour, but it does mean that you stop and pause and say, could we at least make sure that on our final interview list, we have not just the same old kinds of faces? So that's the kind of softer way that you could perhaps approach DEI. And it's worked for many, many organisations doing it that way.
Where do you stand on whether or not certain industries are, in whichever direction, intrinsically gendered?
Intrinsically, I think that's the word that I would question there. Could you give me an example of what you're thinking of there?
Well, you look at certain industries and you see that there is a commonality across much of the Western world in terms of which genders tend to do them. If you take things like construction, plumbing, electricians, they tend to skew very significantly male. If you look particularly in Western Europe, things like primary teaching, nursing, they skew very particularly female. Now, the question is, do they do that naturally, or is that a sexist bias that is ingrained in those industries that needs to be unpicked?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because it's a combination of how girls and boys are raised and the kind of jobs that they're encouraged to go into later, the subjects that they learn at school. And then, of course, the culture of the workplace. If you're a female plumber, for example, and you're looking at applying to an all-male plumbing company, that's going to be pretty intimidating, and you might self-select not to go work there or work in that industry. But there's no inherent natural reason why men or women or transgender people can't do certain kinds of jobs. And actually, we know from history that certain professions often start out in a particular gender and then they switch. And oftentimes when they switch, so I'll give you the example of cooking, for example, of chefs. You know, cooking has often been the domain of women. But when women or when the profession moves from being cooks into chefs, that suddenly becomes the domain of very highly paid, high status men. And so it's an interesting one. And again, we'd have to question, there's nothing naturally inherent about certain jobs for certain genders.
Lauren, thank you very much for your time this morning. That is Dr. Lauren McCarthy. She's a reader in corporate social responsibility and director of Ethos, the Centre for Responsible Enterprise at Bayes Business School.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
High Five Casino is the top choice for social casino gaming that's free to play. With chances to win and redeem for real cash prizes, free spin rewards, and tons of exclusive games, you can experience more High Five moments than ever before. You're going to want to high five everyone. The neighbors, the mailman, all your coworkers, of course your friends. Well, you get the point. Your High Five moment awaits at highfivecasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.